and it was crazy people. Well, can you make sure and tell me that Satan is not there and aliens are not there? I've been visited by the aliens
Satan,
place 2 times.
Satan himself and aliens, real aliens, no. But sometimes people who think they are those things or people who think those things are around are there.
Wow.
So I do work in a mental health hospital, but there is a difference between a mental health hospital and a psychiatric ward.
Got you.
So I do not work in a psychiatric ward.
So that's like an asylum.
That's more. A little bit more intense. That's a little bit more. That's where you have like more of the padded rooms and like the straitjackets.
Hello, mofos and mofets. This is Thaddeus Shade. You're listening to Seasonable Clout, interview number 17. Let's go.
It's what you about to get into, nigga. I pride myself on how myself get by myself. At times myself got down myself. By myself, I ride myself, I die myself. I ride myself. I pride myself on how myself get by myself. At times myself got down myself. By myself, I ride myself, I die myself. Nickel, I ride myself, I die myself. Who crushing on what? I'm too stand up. Who said I'm enough? I'm too damn much. I'm too ramps tough. Yeah. Tools lap up, my moves cram up. I'm sharp.
It was Tupac?
Yeah.
Target's never Tupac.
It was Tupac. That's why I said it felt like Walmart and I hated it.
Tupac? Did it? It was Tupac? It wasn't Tupac. It was Tupac. Tupac. It was Tupac.
It was Tupac.
Tupac. It wasn't Tupac. It was Tupac. Because you're a Tupac fan.
I am.
Are you a Tupac fan?
I am. I mean, I'm not like a diehard. I know every
you're not a diehard fan.
Song, but
you know.
I think he's very talented and or was very talented and he's pretty brilliant and super hot.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that he's super hot. Tupac's super hot. Well, that's nice to know. You know, next time I look at my Tupac poster behind my head, I'll look and I'll be like, you know what, Pac?
You're hot.
Super hot, bro. Super hot.
Yeah.
Well, what about Snoop? Snoop gets left out. Of the thing?
Like no, I told you.
He's not hot to you?
No, he's not my type.
Really?
He's not, but he's super dope.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he's old now, or is it even younger Snoop couldn't?
No.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, he's too lanky.
I want to say, I want to thank you for coming on to my podcast. I am like so excited to do this. I'm like so excited. We talked about this before. Oh, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Crystal Richardson. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Crystal Richardson?
Yep.
That's my Jerry crowd.
I love it.
And the Jerry Springer crowd. They're like really, really, really excited to see everybody. Like one time, like I accidentally stepped on Winston and he said, and they went, they're just very supportive. That's you know good. What I'm saying? Tell me anything negative. Say something negative right now.
I don't have anything negative.
Okay.
Say.
They're going to cheer it. They're going to support it. That's what they're going to do.
Good.
They're here to support, man.
I like
that's
that.
What they do. They don't. They
I like
don't
that energy. Support.
What happened?
I like that energy.
Okay, good. That's what I'm talking about. Crystal, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
It's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I talked about earlier. I did an episode earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of my solo episodes. And I went on and when I do my solo episodes, I rant. Mm-hmm. I go off the rails. It's just me and Winston and I'm by myself and I lose my shit, right? And I talked about making it through March, right? I made it through March and that was a big thing for me because last year, March was God awful for me. How was last year's March for you?
March was absolutely horrendous for me last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal?
Brutal.
Yeah. So for me, it was solid. It was a solid sticking in the rear with no grease. It was pretty bad for me. I'm assuming you say March was bad because I'm assuming it starts with your gig. You didn't. Your gig had to shut. Did your gig? Because you are. So let me tell everybody real quick. Because I want to, you know, I usually go off on like five different lanes and then I come back to what my point is. But let me just tell everybody. Crystal works at a mental health hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I thought that not in a like bad, like in a like my fun, good way that I wanted to have you on. but more of like, you know, people can listen and kind of get an idea what it's like to work inside a mental hospital and what you go through and then what the people deal with, instead of me watching American Horror Story and getting my own idea and being terrified every episode. It may not be like that.
It's not.
Because I have a lot of weird things about mental hospitals.
I did too before I worked there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as we, you know, pace ourselves to get there, did your job shut down last year in March? Did they shut down or were they like, you still got to come in?
No. So last year in March, I was actually still in nursing school.
Yeah.
I was like, we got out for spring break. Mm-hmm. And then during spring break, they extended our spring break 1 week. And then they extended our spring break a week. And then they said, we're not coming back. And they canceled my graduation. They canceled our preceptorship.
Yeah.
They canceled everything. And everything was really shitty. But no, anything medical stayed open.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming you're talking about you were in school to nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Registered nursing.
Yes.
You're registered now.
Yes.
You licensed to carry the needle.
License.
You could just pull it out, poke somebody, save a life at any time.
If I had one on me, yes.
Okay. If we're having this mm-hmm. episode right now, right? All mm-hmm. of a sudden, you're like, I think his eyes are glazing back, and then I start to shake over here. You can save my life because you are registered.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely do my best to save your life, but okay. It doesn't always work, you know?
It's cool, man.
I'm not God.
As long as you... I know, right? as long as you try.
Yes.
Well, if I die in your arms and I float up and I can look down and be like, she tried, I won't have to haunt you for a good 20 years.
That's good.
All right. Because I feel like I'd be a good haunter, you know, if I was a ghost.
I think you would.
Yeah. So you said they shut your graduation down.
Yeah.
And, you know, were you working somewhere else at the time? Or?
Yeah, I was working as a LPN at the time. Nice. So a licensed practical nurse.
I was going to say, and you got to school us.
Yeah. So that's just like one step before a registered nurse. So
yeah.
At the time I was working as a licensed practical nurse, doing home health for a pediatric patient and a geriatric patient. And then I was also working in a medical surgical unit in a really small town where I'm from.
Where are you from?
It's called Sierra Vista. But I was working in Bisbee, which is even smaller.
Yeah. Well, Sierra Vista is like every apartment in Arizona. So like, where is it in Arizona?
Yeah. It's, south of Tucson.
South of Tucson. Doesn't it feel like every apartment, Sierra Vista?
Yeah.
And it's like, some type of soda drink you would find somewhere in some lost city in Arizona, but it sounds beautiful, but you said it's a small town, right?
Super small. Yeah.
How many people?
Honestly, I don't know, but it's probably like 60,000 people.
60,000?
Something like that.
How are you feeling right now? Are you still a little nervous right now?
No.
You good now?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. You want to get a water break? We can do water. This is my shit. So if you want to just stop talking, okay. I tell everybody that comes, you want to stop talking? You stop talking.
Okay.
We can just get a drink.
Okay.
I just take, you know what? We're taking a break. Ah, man. That was a nice break, wasn't it?
So
I needed
nice.
A water break.
Refreshing.
It was nice. So when we're talking March 2020, right? And then you look up, there's a virus, right? There's a fucking virus, right? And the first people in line are nurses. And you're finishing up to be a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking as you see other nurses in front of this?
Well, I was actually working on a medical surgical unit where we had COVID patients and we had like COVID sections.
So you were in the shit.
Yeah.
We can call it the shit. The shit is like the war zone, like the trenches. Like
I was in there.
Yeah.
Fortunately, like the town where I was working at, Bisbee, it's really tiny. So we didn't have many cases, but we did have some. And it was a little bit scary because we didn't really know a lot about it. And everyone made it seem so huge.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just never thought I'd be alive during a pandemic.
Yeah, facts.
So it was scary. It was kind of frustrating, like when they canceled our preceptorship and stuff, because
school me on the preceptorship.
So that's whenever you're done with school, like nursing school at the very end. And they put you one-on-one with a nurse who has experience.
Gotcha.
And you kind of shadow her, and then you kind of do her job, and she shadows you.
Ah.
And you work the regular, whatever shifts she has, you work it.
Do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
I do.
At some point earlier in this series, wasn't she doing that for other nurses, wasn't she doing that?
Yeah, well, they're doctors, so they're like, they were doing their residency and all of that stuff, but it's the same gist.
I didn't watch all the seasons of Grey's Anatomy, but I got a couple in.
Good.
I failed it.
Watch them all. They're good.
Did you watch them all?
All of them.
It's like 85 seasons.
I love it. I will watch it forever if it's on forever.
It seems like it'll be on forever.
I'm happy.
Is Grey still on there?
Honestly, like, I don't really watch TV right now.
Oh, so she just talked all that stuff.
I like, whenever I get like breaks, I will binge watch whatever I missed.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. They were really heavy with the names early on. There was a doctor. What they call him?
McSteamy.
There it is. Yeah. And it was like,
McDreamy.
There was two of them. Okay. There it is. Yeah. That was a big deal. I remember that. You know what I'm saying? The only time I was McSteamy is when I was taking a hot shower. The mirror would fog up. Anywho. So you were involved in dealing with COVID patients early on. What were some of the, I guess I would say, like, some of the things they would tell you on how to handle patients as they were coming in?
We basically had to treat everybody as if they had COVID, whether they did or didn't.
Yeah.
Because some people had COVID without having symptoms.
Right.
So we had to treat everybody as if they had it, and we just had to really wear, like, you know, all the gear. It was really, like, intense.
I remember seeing pictures and videos of nurses, and their faces, you're like really masked, like red from the mask. You're experiencing that, wearing it so much?
Yeah, I had like like cuts like on top of my nose and stuff. Oh, and like, shit. It was like, it was pretty, like, little like bruises and little cuts and whatever. Luckily though, like, they were kind of quick to come out with stuff to put underneath your mask, and then there's things that people already used for like G-tubes and stuff that you put like as a skin barrier.
Yeah.
So we were able to like use a little bit of that sometimes.
G-tube?
Like an NG tube and stuff. Like, it's the tube that goes down in your nose into your stomach to feed. Gotcha. And when it's on your face constantly, it like irritates your skin. So there's like a little barrier thing that you put underneath before you put the tube on. And we were able to use some of that underneath our masks.
Got you.
In some places. Not everybody was lucky enough to have that.
And what do they call the barrier thing again?
Honestly, I can't remember.
Okay. I'm cool with it. Barrier. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. I've only been to the hospital maybe like twice. Like, no, one time, but I had to go back for checkups. Like, I've been there as a teen. Like, you get your physicals and shit, playing ball and stuff. But luckily, I've, you know, been pretty good throughout life. I've only had to be there one time for like something really major. Most of the time I really do try to avoid hospitals, but and it's no disrespect to you and your colleagues.
No, I get it.
I try to avoid them because if usually you're in there, something, it's not like a happy day, you know?
Yeah.
It's really not like, oh, like we're going into Walmart to the cereal aisle. That's a fun time. The cereal aisle in Walmart is fun.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody calls you, say, I'm in a hospital, you're never like, really? What's going on?
Well, sometimes.
Really?
Someone has a baby.
Oh, the babies. Yes, yeah. The babies. That's true. Any more scenarios that we can make up happy for hospitals outside of baby delivery?
No.
It's got to be something. Oh, okay.
Like if I got a boob job.
There you... I guess the person, I was going to say like getting a cast off, but you got to go in. Apparently you broke something.
You just go to your doctor to get the cast off though. You don't go to like the hospital.
Oh yeah. Thanks for schooling me again. Okay. I'll take that. No, you're right. So you talked about laying the something to give you like a little bit of like cushioning from the mask and stuff like that. What was your transition from hospital to home? How did you basically sanitize yourself? Because you have little ones, if that's okay. We don't have to get into details. But you got little ones. How do you sanitize yourself from hospital to home?
So when I moved here to Phoenix, I was working in an actual COVID unit. It was only COVID patients.
Yeah.
And my oldest son actually had a liver transplant when he was a baby. So he's immune suppressed. And we didn't really know like how he would be affected. So it was very important that I didn't get him sick or bring anything home.
Right.
So I would have extra clothes with me in my car. And when I got home from work in my garage, I would strip naked, put new clothes on, put that work clothes in a bag, my work shoes in a bag, go upstairs. And my kids had to, I made sure my kids stayed in the room.
Yeah.
As I got home, I would throw everything in the washing machine, you know, put everything in there, start the washing machine. I would go straight to the shower and wash head to toe. And then my kids could come out, and that's just kind of how we did it.
Super mom. Gotcha. You make sure you did it. You did it. Hey, you did it. You did everything. As you explained to me, like, you were very careful and on point. So you didn't want to get your little one sick. So randomly as we do this, there'll be moments where I'll just kind of throw a randomly odd question out there, right? And you just gotta be with it.
Okay.
You just gotta shoot from the hip.
I'm with it.
All right. If you got the hypothetical gun in the holster, just pull it out, shoot from the hip.
Okay.
What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
No matter what?
Yep.
Like getting ready, doing my makeup.
No matter what.
No matter what.
You do your makeup all the time?
Every day.
Like, it's okay. Listen, before I say this, if you still go to Dollar General, that's okay. I still go to Dollar General. So anybody who's acting like, the Dollar General, I don't go to Dollar General. So to say you go into the Dollar General, right? You still putting makeup on?
Yeah. Even if it's something minimal, like even if I just do my brows and concealer, something, I do my makeup every day.
You don't take morning face anywhere?
No. I mean, no. Because even like, we like lived in the hospital for most of my son's life when he was first born.
Yeah.
I brought makeup with me. And the times I didn't, like, I would send my kid's dad to the store to get me at least some concealer or something.
Really?
Yeah.
So for me, you know what a Slimer is?
A what?
Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Okay, yeah.
You know what he looks like?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's me in the morning, right? It's like the whole eye is covered. Both eyes are covered with Slimers and it's shut. I will travel to a Victoria's Secret like that. All right? On a date at five of their best models in there. If I have to get something early in the morning, I don't worry about look. But you're a beautiful woman and you gotta do your thing. But for me, this shit is dripping. You know what I'm saying? I can't see. You know what I'm saying? I'll shoot the booger out the left nose, whatever I gotta do. In the morning, everybody gets what they get. You know what I'm saying?
I don't feel productive if I don't get ready. So like if I'm in my PJs all day and I don't do my makeup, because there has been times I do that, I don't get shit done.
I feel that.
So if I put myself together, I feel productive. I get stuff done.
It's kind of routine-y, right? Mm-hmm. I am a very routine person. I had a very good morning, right? Morning started off good today, right? Fuck with me. So I did the podcast. I was very happy about the episode. And then things got thrown off because I was supposed to go to the gym. We were supposed to do this earlier, right? So I was supposed to go to the gym and things got thrown off because I like to go to the gym super early, right? But I had to do the episode. So I had to do the episode, blah, blah, blah. And then shit got fucked up on my way to the gym, stalled me out more. I got to the gym. Somebody who likes to talk to me at the gym bugged me at the gym. And then that threw me off anymore. I was only there 15 minutes. And I had to come back.
Oh, that sucks.
Because I had other work to do. Mm-hmm. It's bullshit. So routines matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel you. So you're saying makeup is a part of your routine. I feel you. All right. What do you love to do for others?
Everything. I love taking care of people.
Yeah.
I love to take care of people. I love to like help people. I love to just be there for people.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you. I'm hoping there are other moments where I'll be able to do to use this.
I'm hoping,
but right now you've been getting a lot of claps. You know what I'm saying? So, getting back to what you do, do you have anybody else in the family that's maybe a nurse or doctor? Anybody else has been?
I have cousins who are nurses. I have a male cousin who is a nurse in Tucson. He's a pediatric nurse.
Nice.
He's brilliant. Oh my god, he's so brilliant. And then I have my younger cousin. She's a nurse in LA.
That's dope. Kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I know those conversations when this shit all popped off last year in terrible March. March Madness or Madness of March. What was those conversations like? Were you guys all kind of giving each other like things to do during that time, or just kind of talking about you each other's situation?
I think we're just talking about each other's situation and being kind of supportive with each other, because not a lot of people understood like what it was like to actually be working in that.
Yeah.
Just the stupid outfits we had to wear, and like, they're hot.
Were the outfits?
Yeah, I looked like audio, a fucking astronaut.
Really?
Like, yeah. So I had, obviously I had to wear an N95 mask.
Right.
And then I had to wear a mask over that. And then we had to wear like these, this was like more low budget, like where I was at. So I had to wear this like a visor thing. Right. Yeah. And it had like a foam cushion here. And then it was just like a plastic shield.
Yeah.
Like over my face.
Wow.
And just adding that visor thing was like 20 degrees hotter, like in my mask. I'm breathing my own hot air. And like, it was just, and it was 13, 14 hour shifts.
Ooh.
And then we had to wear, you know, like the gowns over that and shoe covers. I had to wear like a hair cover thing. I mean, you don't have to wear the hair thing, but yeah. Like we just didn't know. So like, I didn't know if I was bringing COVID home on my hair, you know? Yeah.
So during those times, like you with, and maybe even now, well, we'll get to that. So during that time, were there supplies that you just normally have where they were just gone?
Like, yeah. Kind
of really hard to get. Outside of TP at the time.
Everything. Gloves, masks, PPE, like the gowns.
Yeah.
PPE is made to be worn one time and you dispose of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was such a shortage. We literally had people from the community here in Phoenix sew the gowns, like sew some homemade gowns and donate them to us because the paper ones were gone and we couldn't get any more. Gloves were super hard to come by. Like, I obviously have small hands. So I wear a small or an extra small depending on the brand.
Right.
And I had to kind of make do with whatever they gave me. I had to wear mediums or whatever, which was hard when I was.
Yeah.
It's hard when I was trying to draw blood because like you really had to feel for the vein. So like I had to like pull like the thing like really tight onto my finger. It was just a mess. Like it was hard.
How were the patients? Did they feel like they were understanding? Were they a lot of confusion or anger? How do you feel like they were during that time?
I mean, I feel like in any time like that, like it's a mix of people. There's some people who kind of get it. And there's some people that no matter what you do, you're not going to make them happy. And then there's people in between that. So it just depended on the day, really. Some people started out fine. And then as time went by, like shit seems to get worse, you know, and people were just over it. And I also think that when people are scared, not only were scared of the virus, but they're scared because they're sick in the hospital. They have no control over things. Like your emotions are kind of not well controlled.
Right.
You know, like you lash out at people that don't have anything to do with it just because you're so scared. But I get that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know, I dealt with the virus myself. And I know they're tired of me mentioning it because at one point I just didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my listeners are probably like, we know, motherfucker. And me dealing with it, it was just me by myself. And I would have my ex, she would bring me stuff. And then Davion would bring me stuff over. They would just drop stuff at the front door because nobody, you know. And I remember my ex, she was coming up the stairs. And I was on the phone with her and I could hear her spraying Lysol on the outside.
The door.
Just I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I don't know. I'm just spraying Lysol coming up the stairs. I'm like, oh shit. It was a lot of fear. So we'll kind of fast forward. First of all, you are a hero. That's the fireworks that's supposed to be going on. I don't have a fireworks. But I thank you for doing what you did. 13, 14, 15 hours is brutal.
It is.
Brutal?
I mean, it can be. Sometimes it's not bad at all, but sometimes
during
it's
that,
like,
I feel like that probably was like.
Well, I worked nights, so I feel like nights are different. Nights are super chill most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't work nights anymore, but at the time I was working nights.
Yeah.
Day shift, they had their ass handed to them. Like,
really?
Yeah, because in the daytime, you have to deal with everyone and everything and all this stuff. In the nighttime, in the first few hours, you deal with crap because there's still people are awake and medication and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then everyone's asleep pretty much.
Okay.
And then you only deal with occasional people that are up or whatever.
See, and, but still, 13, 14, 15. Listen, I had a job. I've only had like two jobs in my life. One of this job was working in A&W. And it was in a hood. It wasn't hood, but it was in an area, right? And I was working with my boys. And there'd be moments where I worked 5 hours and I'd be ready to quit. This is bullshit. I'm out. And I think what happened was I worked 7 hours one time. I quit. So me imagine, listen, you're working 13, 14, 15 hours during that time. And, you know, you're running out of supplies and people confused and upset. It's a lot going on. So your mental probably really got tested. And I salute you. You know, I salute you. Now, I'm going to move a little more forward. You now work in a mental hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me. What goes on inside of a mental hospital? Because I watched season 2, I told you, of American Horror Story, Asylum, mm-hmm. and it was aliens, it was Satan, and it was crazy people. Well, can you make sure and tell me that Satan is not there and aliens are not there? I've been visited by aliens like 2 times.
Satan himself and aliens, real aliens, no. But sometimes people who think they are those things or people who think those things are around are there.
Wow.
So I do work in a mental health hospital, but there is a difference between a mental health hospital and a psychiatric ward.
Got you.
So I do not work in a psychiatric ward.
It's like an asylum.
That's a little bit more intense. A little bit more. That's where you have like more of the padded rooms and like the straitjackets and stuff. There's way more like psychosis and more in deeper mental health issues there. Now, we definitely get those patients at a mental health hospital, but we get a lot of other patients with a lot of other mental health issues. So we go ranging from people who are extremely depressed, anxious, mental health issues like that, all the way to manic patients, psychosis, all of those things. So we do have a range. In a psychiatric ward, it's more of the psychosis and mania and stuff like that. Most of our patients in the mental health hospital are suicidal or homicidal, like having thoughts, ideations of that. And it's just, I feel like it got pretty bad during the pandemic, so many people were affected by losing their job, losing their homes, just losing everything. So it was pretty rough for a lot of people. And
you had more people come in during the pandemic, like people were coming in and because they were having, high anxiety or stressing out. And breaking down, was that like a thing you saw a rise in that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it. There's always like it trends. Sometimes we have a lot of patients, sometimes it goes down. But I feel like during this pandemic, like our census has been, it kind of remains consistently high. We have a few weeks at a time where it's kind of low, but it never remains low. It's pretty high pretty often.
Let's take a break here. They're good. Let's get a water break. You want a water break?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a water break. We can just chill. They're good.
Okay.
Just take a break. Whew. Okay, we continue. All right. So I'm weird like that. So you hear about mental illness a lot. And I think this could be weird of me. I think all of us kind of deal with it in our own way. Have a little bit, but I know. So I'll give you an example. Last year was very, very gangster for me. And it was a long run. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had never had like panic attacks or something or anxiety. I don't know which one it was because there'd be moments where I just felt like I couldn't breathe, and I would be in the gym and all of a sudden my body is like, dude, you need to get some air. And I'm like, I can't breathe. Like I have really sitting there like, you're trying to sit there and be like, you will not embarrass yourself. You will not have a moment right now. And so I'm sitting there. And I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm going to fucking die. I'm going to pass out right now. Right. This is going to be it. And I'm trying to tell my, and at the same time, I'm going to tell myself, breathe. Right. I don't know. I've never dealt with that. And for people who have dealt with that for their whole lives, I mean, what are some of the things that you've experienced inside of the hospital? Do you have like, that's anxiety, right? Like,
yeah.
People, how do they deal with that? What's prescribed to them?
Every patient is different, obviously. So yeah. People have different tolerances. I feel like I notice differences depending on your ethnicity.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge thing because I think African Americans, Hispanics, mostly, like, we're always told, like, you need to kind of suck it up. Like, it's not facts. A thing. It's like, you need to get it together. Like, yep. You know, and it's just like, stress, anxiety, all that stuff, depression, it's not real to them. It's more like you're being weak-minded, like you got to get over it and just kind of keep it going. And yeah. So we're like trained that like if we're going through that, we're like kind of feeling ashamed, we're embarrassed, like we don't want to admit it. So I feel like there's less African-Americans, less Hispanics, even Asians like seeking help because yeah. – it's a stigma. Yeah. I mean, it's a stigma overall, but more so I think in like lower and like minorities, yeah. You know,
I feel like me and GRC, we talk about this a lot and they know who GRC is because I talk about him a lot here and we've discussed some things as far as like going to see therapists, you know, and not being, you know, uncomfortable about it. You know, being able to, what just happened here? Oh, okay, we're good. And so, and not feeling, you know, weird or ashamed or, you know, because there's a lot of things that we've dealt with as, you know, kids that growing up that still affect me and him and others mm-hmm. as adults, you know. And so you're 1,000% right. If I was to be 15 and tell my mom or tell, you know, cousin or brother or whatever that I want to go see a therapist, they look at me like, what motherfucker? What are you talking about? That's not what we do, you know? So yeah, I completely can see how, you know, that's a thing and that's real. We're gonna continue, but is there like, do you have anybody that thinks they're Batman? I try to keep this light because I know this is a heavy situation. So you're just gonna,
yeah.
You had, is there anybody in there that says I'm Batman? I would do it.
Not yet, but we've had patients who have said like they think they're God.
Oh, or, really?
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. So my favorite patients to deal with are patients going through like manic episodes.
Yeah.
Because they are just fun. Like a lot of like all the nurses are like, dude, I cannot, like there's so much to handle. Like they're constantly like they need something, you know, like even if it's just attention, but like they're always at the desk talking to us and like saying just random shit and nothing makes sense. And like the nurses are like, it's hard to focus. And like some of them are just like, dude, they can't, you know, they're just like, I cannot deal with you. I love it. So, I love it.
Manic. You got to talk to the people who don't know what manic is. Just I know what it is.
Yeah.
I really don't. But I really know what it is, but I'm just going to pretend like I don't.
So basically, like, some people who have, like, bipolar disorder or just or different mental health diagnoses like that, you know, when they're having a certain kind of imbalance or their medications needs adjusting or they haven't taken their medication or something happens,
right.
They go and they have, like, manic episodes to where they, like, won't sleep for days. Sometimes.
Really?
And then that not sleeping for days alone will cause even a mentally sane person to be like kind of out of it and say random shit that is crazy and act, you're a different person. So like put that together with a mental health issue and these patients are insane. Like we've had patients who are like just thinking that they're like certain athletes or like,
really?
Yeah, or they say like that there's like a voice controlling them and it's like
now we're getting some
I forget his name, like he's like a pretty famous like announcer for like the WWE or something like that. So we had a patient who said like that person was like the voice telling him what to do.
Really?
Yeah, but it was like I loved him, like I love that
So do you, that's wild. Wow. I'll do this one.
Oh my God.
See, we can use it now. So honestly, have you seen patients that, cause it's important. Like, this is important for me to hear. I think it's important for other people here. Have you seen people come in and then kind of leave better?
Yes. Yeah. When I was telling you about, that we've had patients who like come in completely just unable to stop speaking, unable to sleep, unable to stop moving, unable to stop saying crazy shit. And, once, you know, they go through the therapy and they get their medications adjusted and stuff, like they kind of level out and then they're just like us, you know, like,
yeah,
just like anybody else. They are super like level and calm and normal. And when they leave, they're just like, you know, and a lot of times these patients know, like they'll tell us like, I'm manic right now. Like, I know like this is not normal,
yeah,
you know? And then when they leave, they're like, you know, like, thank you. This, I feel good and whatever. And like they, it's incredible to see, like the mind is just, it's insane.
It's insane.
It's so intriguing.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. It's some of the, like the doctors, you like, cause you kind of worry for somebody like me, I'm really worried about the type of doctor or person I'll be talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, once again, I'm a guy, you know, yeah. I believe, you know, the thought process for me is, as a man's man, you know, women and children get on the boat first. Right. So mm-hmm. like, it's hard for me to, and other guys to share feelings and talk about those things and try to figure those things out. Right. Mm-hmm. So so you're around a lot of the docs in there, the docs, you know, how do you feel? Good guys, good people, good women, good men.
Oh my God. The doctors in my facility, and I'm not even just saying this because I work there, cause I wouldn't lie. They are incredible. Like, there is not a single one of those doctors that I wouldn't go to or that I wouldn't like tell somebody to go to.
Yeah.
And I feel like they each have, like I work on all the units. We have adolescents, adults, and geriatrics.
Oh, wow.
And I work on all the units. But my main unit is the adult unit.
Yeah.
And so we have three main doctors on that unit. And I feel like each doctor is amazing, but they each have their own like their own thing that they're good at. So like certain patients, like we know we'll do better with this doctor or that doctor just because of like what they're dealing with or whatever. And even it's just the way that like, even though they're all incredible and they're all super intelligent or whatever, but they all have different personalities. They all have different approaches. So I think that they're all so amazing. So like they really care about the patients. They're really good. I love talking to them because they're so intelligent and helpful. And
see, you're making me feel better. You're making me feel a little bit better. You talked about adolescence and then you said something and then geriatric. Mm-hmm. I'll come to geriatric in a minute because that's from Step Brothers. I'll bring it up in a second. So you work with kids and mm-hmm. stuff down there too.
Ages 12 to 17.
Really?
In that unit.
Mm-hmm. Is it a situation where, I don't know if I'm able to ask this, is it a situation where kids are being like brought in or maybe they're homeless or
foster,
or, you know,
all of it,
orphans and stuff like that?
So we have patients who their parents bring them in. We have patients who are you know, in the system and CPS or DCS brings them in. We have patients who are like kind of like in group homes or like kind of bouncing from place to place like this. And like in the mental health hospital, the average length of stay is pretty short, 5 to 7 days.
Yeah.
It's just to get you to a point where you can continue outpatient treatment. The adolescent unit is mostly like that, but there's a lot of cases where it's a little bit different. We have some patients who are there kind of long-term and because they don't have like family and things like that. So. Yeah. And then in those cases, some of the adolescents are kind of problematic, which I completely understand, you know, like they had a hard life and, they want attention and love and they get it whichever way they can get it. So, but that makes it hard for us to discharge them because then a lot of other places won't take them, you know, placing them is hard. So it makes them even more problematic because nobody wants them.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And I imagine, you know, it's hard, probably hardworking in an adolescent area because those are, you know, teens to I don't know, young teens, you know, and you always want the youth to have a shot and to get a shot, and I know it's probably tough to be around that consistently. Once again, I tip my hat to you. All right, and I'm gonna let the Jerry crowd do a little work for me. So you talked about, so you got adolescents and then you moved, you said another, what was the?
Adult.
Okay, so the adults. And I'm assuming the geriatrics are a little older, right?
Yeah.
Older. So there's a line in Step Brothers. Do you ever see Step Brothers?
I love Step Brothers.
Do you remember, you geriatric fuck, do you remember that? Yes, yeah. Okay. I just had to say that because I'm like a big Step Brothers fan.
Oh, I love it. I love Will Ferrell.
Me and you both, you get points for that. Oh, is it random? Oh, I get random question time.
Oh, man.
All right. What is your greatest fear and how do you manage fear?
Oh, this is a hard one. Okay. I think at the moment, my greatest fear is dying before my kids are like old enough to take care of themselves.
Well, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause,
let's just bring the, this is.
That's a huge fear of mine.
Yeah. Like, I can see that. Yeah. That was okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
If you want me to get tissue, I can get tissue. I can cry.
No, it's just scary. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if all moms are like this or if it's just me, but I just feel like nobody is going to love my kids the way I love them. No one's going to take care of them when they take care of them.
Yeah.
As amazing as like my mom is, she's their grandma and it's different. It's not the same. You know, plus I want my kids raised a certain way and nobody's going to raise them how I want them raised.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Oh. Jesus. All right. So what have you learned from the most successful person you know? That's a dope fear, by the way. Fear you just said, but that was heavy. I appreciate you dropping that. But
yeah. I know so many amazing people. I'm trying to think who the most successful is.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You okay. Appa? Okay, so I mean, I don't know exactly who the most successful is, but
you're good, you're fine.
By learning from all the people that I know that are extremely successful, I think the biggest thing is that they're not afraid to like fail.
Yeah,
they're not afraid to try things. They're not they work so hard even when they don't want to work.
Yeah,
and I feel like those people have like this insane like work ethic and discipline that like. Not very many people have.
Yeah, the usually big time successful ones will work nonstop, mm-hmm. nonstop. I usually try to go into a nonstop, you know, work mode.
You are nonstop.
You think so?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
As I told you, like when you just took your vacation, I was proud of you.
I took a day. I went down to Vegas for a day,
but it was still like. A breath. I feel like you never take days.
I appreciate that. I don't know if that's cool. I'm a cry girl. Shit. I want to, if you can help people that may be listening and they do have, you know, they've thought about going to go talk to somebody or going to the hospital, somewhere like where you work, what would be the steps and to doing that?
I mean, you can just walk in.
Yeah.
We have patients who just walk in. We have patients who get brought in by the hospitals because unfortunately they did like try to commit suicide or things like that. But where I work specifically, they screen you and there's certain criteria you have to meet to be eligible to be admitted.
Oh, wow.
You know, so.
There's criteria to get in.
Yeah, because I mean. There's not enough beds for everybody in the world that's having.
That's real.
You know,
that's
problems real. Because let's be honest, like every single person in this world, no matter how much you think they have their shit together, like they're going through something,
exactly,
you know, some people are just able to hide it better than others.
Yeah.
But there's criteria. I'm not an intake nurse, so I don't know exactly what all the criteria is, but I know that for us, one of the criteria is that you have to have some suicidal thoughts or some homicidal thoughts. And there's also like, if you're having like psychosis or mania, yeah, things like that.
So, okay. So this is one of my more, just one of the, this is the time where I'm being me. This mm-hmm. is, you know, I'm going to be goofy. Mm-hmm. So just work with me here.
Okay.
All right. So let's just say, right, we're out and about. We'll say we're in a mall.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Me and you going store to store. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes up. This is a guy. You know, we'll just say white guy. Sorry, most white people are like this. When I get done explaining, you'll know why I said white guy. White guy, you know, 6 foot white guy comes up. He says hi, right? And he's just conversating, mm-hmm. right? He's this nice white guy talking to us in the mall. He's just conversating with us, right?
Yeah.
Because you work where you work, would you be able to tell if he was an actual real Dexter or not? That's the question I want to know. No, I'm just
no. I feel like no. I feel like no. But I do walk around and like I diagnose people all the time.
Really?
Like yeah. Like I'll be talking to someone and I'm like, oh, this person totally has this. Like, you know, like I even diagnose myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, wait, let me look into this more. like all the time. Like me and the other nurses, we always talk about how like. We'll now we talk to people or we see people and like or just, you know, obviously we've been around our family forever. After working here, we're like, oh, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think this person has it. Like,
yeah.
You know,
what medications like, do you use the most in there?
Again, depending on the patient, we use a lot of like anxiety medication. So things like Vistaril, which is kind of like like a Benadryl kind of medication. Okay. So it kind of calms you. It can act like an antiemetic, which is like anti-nausea medication. It can act, it has several different uses, but we use it for anxiety. It just it covers a few things. Okay. So that's like one of our basic medications. Like whenever you get admitted, that's a medication that pretty much everybody gets on their like as needed list.
Yeah.
And then we have like more like psych meds where you have like Haldol. You have.
Your tone got different for those.
Yeah, because Haldol's like it's more, you know, it's more psych med. It's like
psych med. Is it so in all these shows that I watch, you guys give these patients like concoctions of pills?
Sometimes, yeah. Some patients have like tons of pills.
Really?
Yeah, we have some patients who have no medication.
Really? Mm-hmm. So, and Haldol, what do you say? What is it?
Haldol.
Haldol, mm-hmm. Which it sounds like a very, very, very ugly voodoo doll that I don't want to touch, right? So, what does that do?
So like, well, they give it for different reasons. But some people, like things like Haldol or Zyprexa or things like that, they're like for like when you're having like psychosis or like you're having like you're hearing voices or things like that. It kind of helps like mute that.
Yeah.
It kind of just helps. You. I don't know the exact science behind it because I'm not a doctor, but and I'm new to the field. Like I've been there almost a year, but I'm newer to the field. So I feel like a lot of the medications do more than one thing.
Right.
You know, like the like the Vistaril. Like most of the medications do more than one thing, and then there's things like if someone's going crazy, like. They're a danger to themselves or a danger to somebody else. And the doctor will give us like a one-time order to give them what's called a B52.
Yeah.
If this patient is very, very insane and like crazy, that's like a sigh of relief for the nurses. Like we are so happy to get that order. And it's not a very common order because it's only like when absolutely necessary.
Right.
And that's like a combination of medications.
Yeah.
So that's Benadryl, Ativan, and Haldol together in a shot. And
that sounds like something you get from a bar.
they actually have a shot called B52.
Hey, Mike, let me get a B52.
They have a shot called B52.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But this B52 is, you know, for the patients. And that will kind of like, most patients, it will like, all right, they're calm. They're good. We can lay them down and like they're not going to hurt anybody. And they're not going to hurt themselves. Like for now, you know, most of the time we try to verbally de-escalate the patient. Yeah. We make sure they're safe. We put them in holds. We try to talk to them. We our go-to is not medication. Like, that's not the goal. There's just times where we really have to do that. But there's some patients that will be super crazy and we can give them a B52 orally. We don't have to give them a shot.
Okay.
Like if we can calm them down enough to be like, if we give you this medication, like, will you promise to like not hurt anybody, not hurt yourself or whatever. And some patients will, but it's just kind of rare.
Just rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like
if you're that escalated, like, can you imagine being like, yeah, sure, I'll take the pill. You know, no, not really.
It doesn't really happen. Like this, that doesn't seem like a scenario that happens often where they're like, yeah, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. You usually have to get, you know, and get in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On some Dexter shit. I feel you. I understand. Did you watch Dexter at all?
I didn't.
Do you watch true crime documentaries though?
I don't really watch TV. I listen to music a lot.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect. Cause when we're close to being done with this, I have a music game that I play.
Oh God.
And everybody that comes on here plays the music game, almost everybody. And then people who do really bad about it get made fun of.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't want to play that.
From other people. Not me. I'm nice.
Wait, I listened to Reflections podcast. Did he play? He didn't play that.
No, because he's a DJ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like a professional DJ. I would never do that because he would just cheat. He would know everything. I would have to go to country. Deep country.
True.
You know, to beat him. And I love country. I just can't go deep country because, you know, it's not. It's
yeah. I was going to say, I definitely listened to his and I did not hear no game being played on there.
Oh, I thought you heard. Nothing. Never mind. sorry. This is for me.
Cole, you stupid.
So during when did you switch over to the mental hospital, if I may ask?
Right when I got my RN license. Okay.
So you had to deal with some of the patients during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how that was being around that with, you know,
mental health? So we try not to take COVID patients, in the mental health facility. We have had patients who like came to us and then they're wherever they came from, they're like, hey, we just got the results in, by the way, they have COVID. So when that happens, it's the worst because can you imagine telling patients who are having mental health issues, who are going through psychosis or mania or, you know, a lot of anxiety or whatever, that they need to stay in their room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like,
wow.
All, and not just them, everybody on the unit.
So the whole floor.
The whole floor.
Shit.
And it's like, not fun. That's what
nobody's happy about.
No, and they lose their shit. And that's when we have a lot of like, okay, we need to figure out a way to like contain this. And some patients will be like, F you, like I'm not gonna stay. Like, I'm gonna do what I want. So then it's like it creates a lot of crap. And we have to do all these protocols and whatever. And a mental health hospital isn't equipped for any medical issues. Like we can take care of basic things, but if it's more than basic, we have to send them out to the like hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some of the protocols as far as like getting everybody to somebody has COVID? What are some of the protocols? Like,
We put that patient in a negative pressure room. Okay.
That's badass. That just sounds badass. Yeah. Negative pressure. Shit. Yeah. Something Goku trains in.
Yeah. So instead of the air circulating back into the building, it circulates out. And then we have to put like these like door. Okay, the best way I can describe it is, you know, if you've ever worked in a restaurant or places like that, their freezers, sometimes they have like those like plastic flaps before you go into that. Mm-hmm. They look like that. So we put them in front of the door.
Got you. Now.
And then we put signs everywhere that say, you know, like put their precautions. And then we have to pull out all the PPE. Then all the nurses on that unit have to wear an N95 mask. And we have to wear a gown before we go in there. And then we cannot go to other floors. So, like, if I need something from a different floor, I have to try to see if, like, one of the supervisors can bring it up and leave it, like, in our break room or something. But we cannot go from floor to floor.
Wow.
We can't take the patients down to the cafeteria. The cafeteria food has to get brought up to the patients. Like,
it's a whole process.
It's a whole ordeal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have to deal with a lot of patients being sick?
No, not so far. We've had a few. There's been a few. Because like I said, we screen them before they come in the door. Before we even do anything else, they get checked for COVID. And then once it's negative, then, you know, they're brought in or whatever. And then other places, usually screen them before they send them to us.
Yeah.
There's been times where, like I said, like they'll send them to us before they get the results, and then they'll call us and be like, hey, that person has COVID. So.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, they've already been around the unit. They've been around the hospital and like.
Shit. Yeah. Okay. Wow. It's impressive, you know, how much my simple ass doesn't know. Like, you don't, like, you guys have been around on Earth forever. Nurses have been around forever, right? So you guys have been doing all this life-saving stuff forever, right? This is every day you do this. And then something like this happens, and then people get a chance to really recognize how much you guys do and how much you are in the way of harm, potential sickness, and in taking care of people and getting people back to form and to living and seeing family members and stuff. So like I said, once again, Jerry Crowd will come through, you know. I always imagine like a really Roseanne type lady just out there, just really cheering loud.
You know, it's funny. I totally can picture that.
So I guess what we'll do is I have a couple of fun questions, right? And then I might do the game first because we're at 55 minutes. Could you believe we're at 55 minutes?
No.
Moving, right?
Yeah.
I saw you get comfortable around 40. You leaned back. You was like, okay, I'm good now. Like, I can talk now. I'm not really worried about shit. So would you like some questions or would you want to get into the music game?
Whatever you want.
You sure? Mm-hmm. I have never named this game. I've been doing this for almost a year and I have never named this game.
Okay.
So we'll do the music game first before we get the questions. So what you have to do. Okay. I'm really shitty about how much time I give for you to listen to a record. Mm-hmm. I like to fuck with you. I like to fuck with the guest.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So maybe 3 to 5 seconds. It's not a lot because some of these songs I feel like you should know. And then there's probably one that I play a little bit more. But if you can't get on the first run, I will run it again for you. All right? So that way, let me check something real quick. Make sure we're shut up here. Yeah, there we are. We're all good there. So 3 to 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. I'll run it. You can guess. Or you can say, give it to me again.
Okay.
And I'll run it again a little bit longer.
Okay.
And then you have to guess.
I don't like this. I'm nervous.
It's okay. So should you want the hardest or the easiest first?
Just give me whatever.
All right. You ready? Here we go. Let me make sure you can hear this first. You hear that? You good? All right. Here we go.
I don't know. Give it to me again. One more time. I don't know what the song's name is. It sounds like Jay-Z or Nas or something, but like, I don't know what it is.
I absolutely love when people are completely wrong. There is a devilish grin that comes across my face when they're so wrong. Oh, because you're my friend.
Okay.
I'm going to run that one more time.
I really don't know.
And I'm going to give you an opportunity. It was a single for this particular rapper. It was probably like the third or fourth single.
Okay.
For this particular album. It was a big album. So I'll run it again.
Oh my God. I don't know. Okay. I don't listen to rap that much.
Before we started, she said, I'm the biggest rap fan.
I did not say that.
All I do is listen to rap music all the time. She said that, y'all.
No, I didn't.
They're going to believe me over you. Okay, we're going to run it again. You ready?
Okay. Wide open because the dream is kin to your last breath. Rushing in this 40
ounce. Letting the ink from my pen bleed. Because long loop. I can't say that because the name of the song is coming up.
Yeah. I have no clue.
You want to take another guess at a rapper? Because I just really enjoyed how we went to Jay-Z and Nas. So
it just sounded like a Jay-Z or Nas like type vibe to me.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
So you want me to just tell you who it is?
Yeah.
All right, it's The Game.
Oh, okay.
The song is Dream.
Okay, I don't really listen to The Game.
Do you remember the song though at all?
No, I don't really listen to The Game.
We're just going to vibe out a little bit. Just enjoy yourself.
Okay. Let it run. Wide open because the dream is kin to your last breath. Rushing in this 40 ounce. Letting the ink from my pen bleed. Because long Luther King had a. Aaliyah had a. Oh, hey, now. part. Not like after that part.
Okay.
I know that See? Part.
All right. Okay. Are you ready for song number two?
I don't know. Maybe I'm not.
Well, this is rap R&B. Okay. So you should be all right.
Okay.
All right. Let me get this straight. Shooby dee boo boo boo.
Because it's sad. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like this. Oh, this is like the Bee Gees or whatever, right? It's Lauryn Hill. No. Yeah, it's Lauryn Hill. Right?
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's Lauryn Hill.
Listen, I know y'all heard what I heard at first. That's why I panicked for about 5 seconds. I could have swore this woman said that's the Bee Gees.
I couldn't remember what.
And I said, the white group Bee Gees? Staying Alive? That's what's happening in my brain right now.
I mean, I knew it was Lauryn Hill, but it's like, what are the...
You meant the Fugees.
The Fugees. Yeah. I couldn't remember what they were called, but I know it was Lauryn Hill.
Man. It is Lauryn Hill, but what's the name of the song?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not good with song names. I just...
You got to name the artist in the song?
I named the artist. That's really good. I said Jay-Z and Nas in the last one.
We were all panicking about the Bee Gees. I know I wasn't the only one that was like, what the hell just happened?
I know it was Lauryn Hill. Because it's sad. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again.
A good song.
Yeah, I it's like that, that song. Thing. Okay. I don't know song names. I just know if I like a song or not.
This dude calling me back for. Let's see here. Okay, good.
See, I could cheat if like this was like on speakerphone. I could like pull up like an app that like.
Don't cheat. Don't do that.
Okay. I'm not going to, but I'm saying I could.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Last one?
Uh huh.
All right, here we go. I can go
on. Okay, I know this song, but I don't know who sings it. I know this song. Here, play it again.
Sure?
Yeah. I know it. I just can't think of who sings it. I know, you should be mad because I don't know who sings it. But I know this song. I can go on. Oh my God. No, I don't know who sings it.
But you know the song?
Yes. I've heard it a million times. I don't know who sings it. I told you I don't know name of the songs, but I've heard it. I wouldn't lie. I actually have heard it.
You know the song, though.
I do like it.
You promise?
I promise.
Because you're 0-2. Do you want to take, you want me to give you like a hint?
Sure. Give me a hint.
Her first name is like, if you, they say, this is great. You gotta have what in God?
Faith.
Okay, so that's boom. Because you were about to go into something else, but that's right. That's her first name, right?
Uh-huh.
I can't give you any more else. You don't, it's still not hitting. Fuck, you know what? I love you to death. We'll just jam out. I can go on and make it through. I can't even take the rock off loving you. I like this.
It's so bad. I don't know. See, I like this song. This song was in a movie. It was in, what movie was the song in?
I like watching them try to redeem themselves by, you know, coming up with other things.
No, I'm telling you,
this song was in a movie. I'm for sure.
I'm really bad with names and like song titles. I mean, you know what? Like, honestly, I'm even bad with lyrics. Even the songs that I love, like sometimes I just make shit up because that's what I hear. And if it's not the right thing, I just sing it anyway. I don't care.
Sure, Crystal. That's cool. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, we're good. Yeah,
okay,
sure.
It's Faith Hill. No.
Faith Hill's the country singer.
Faith Evans. Faith.
There you go. Okay.
Did
you?
I know. No. I promise. I didn't.
Good job, Faith Evans. Okay. Love Like This.
See?
There you go.
I know something.
All right.
I'm telling you, I like the song. I'm really crappy with names.
I mean, it's cool. My clue gave you. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's cool. Don't worry about it. You just came from Target today, right? I love this question. So it means a lot to me. So you just came from Target. If you got to go back to Target, you got to go shopping at Target. You got to go back.
Okay.
You're going shopping at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Take any celebrities, three celebrities, dead or alive, with you to go shopping in Target. Who would you take with you?
Go shopping with me?
Target. Dead or alive, celebrities. Dead or alive.
Kobe.
Oh, wow. Nope.
I love Kobe.
Yeah. And you both respect me.
Yeah. I would take Kobe. I would take... I know. I'll take Janae Aiko.
Nice.
I love her vibe.
Yeah.
And then maybe Snoop.
Really?
Yeah, Snoop would probably like put me onto some shit that I didn't even know about.
You're not saying Snoop because he's behind me, right?
No, I told you I love him. He like loves banda music.
Yeah.
Like he's in that banda song.
Yeah.
And he's like
the coolest, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I know he's African American, but he's like low key, like he's Mexican.
I actually fuck with you on that. I agree 1,000%. There's somebody who took Snoop, Martha Stewart, and Seth Rogen at one time. That is a hell of a fucking combination.
That would be like a blast.
That's a weed combination for your ass.
Yeah. Right
there. Everybody's having a good time in there. Oh man, I forgot my other question, man. Hold on. I think I can find it real quick. Let's just go here. And then you come here. Have you ever done something unbelievable only to have no one around to see it?
No, I don't think I have. I mean, like, as a nurse, like, there's stuff that I've done, like, for the first time that, like, I would have thought was really cool if someone saw it, because some things are, like, kind of harder procedures to, like, learn.
Right.
Or do. And to get them, like, the first time is, like, really cool.
Yeah.
So I've done that a few times where, like, that's I dope. Got, like, a procedure, like, on the first time.
Yeah. And nobody's around. You're like, shit, somebody's supposed to be around.
I mean, but I talked about it.
Oh, you told
him? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Hey, listen, this is what I did.
Yeah.
I just pulled this off right now. Nobody saw it, but no, you missed out.
Yeah.
I feel you on that. and then describe, this will be my last one. Describe Instagram in one word. In one word, describe Instagram.
Fake.
Damn. I'll take that. Crystal Richardson's. Richardson. Sorry. I put the plural in there for some reason. Like there's eight of you here. I want to thank you for coming on the Seasonable Clout. Do you want to tell people where they can find you, like social media wise?
Yeah, it's at Travel Size Nurse on Instagram.
You have Twitter?
I do.
Do you?
Petit_RN, I believe.
Nice.
Or maybe not. I don't know. Hold on. Let me see what my Twitter name is.
You really play that nurse thing up, don't you? Really well.
I do. It's like when you're a new nurse, like you just have to let everybody know you're a nurse, you know?
That's dope, though.
Yeah. And then, where's my Twitter?
Do you be on Facebook, too?
I am on Facebook, but I don't use my Facebook.
I don't think anybody uses Facebook outside of just having it for family.
That's what I'm saying. I put my kids on my Facebook for my family to see.
It's a more safer place, I guess, for your kids to go.
Oh, okay. No, my Twitter is petit_LatinX.
Got you.
And then TikTok, Travel Size Nurse.
Nice. You on TikTok?
Yeah, I am.
You're a TikToker?
I'm a TikToker.
Are you more of just like a looker on TikTok or do you TikTok?
I TikTok. I mean, like, I started it when my kids were with their dad over the summer. I just moved here and I had no friends. I knew nobody. And I was bored at home, like on my days off, because I only work 3 days as a nurse. So I had 4 days where I was doing nothing. And I started making TikToks just for fun. And then it kind of like grew from there.
Yeah, you became popular quick.
Popular where?
Here in the city.
No. Nobody even knows I exist.
Oh, whatever. I am Thaddeus Shade. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Instagram at Thaddeus.Shade. I'm on Twitter at ThadShade, 2 Ds. And I'm also on Facebook, but I rarely am on Facebook. But Facebook, I care about you too. We are in love. We are one. And we will forever be one. You will always be in my heart, Facebook. Remember that. All right. I want to thank everybody listening to the Seasonable Clout.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. I think I used everything. You got that because one. You got that one. You got that one kind of right.
Yeah.
You got that one kind of right. With my help, you got that one.
That's so bad.
This was Jay-Z featuring Nas, right?
No. I mean, am I wrong? Like, doesn't it sound kind of like a Jay-Z or Nas?
I give it to you. Yes, it does. It does. I want to thank everybody for listening. And everybody have, I guess I'll drop this either tonight or Monday. People don't care. They just want to hear it. So I'll drop it whenever. So you have a good night or a good morning. All right. Peace. Oh, wait, I gotta hit the button. I'm gonna leave that in too, actually.